Okay, so I'd like to tell you about a debugger that we built. It's called Friday, named after Sergeant Joe Friday, who goes from place to place collecting evidence and then some central location puts it all together. Now, before I get into the details, let me give you some motivation. So we as a distributed systems community have been building a lot of great distributed systems recently. And I'm talking about large-scale distributed systems, both in data centers and Planet Lab. Now, we do our best to test these systems before we deploy them, but invariably and inevitably, these systems encounter bugs, okay? And they happen during production, maybe 2 weeks or maybe a month into deployment. So then you as the programmer is left with the task of figuring out what happened, all right? Why did this bug come about? And this is a very hard thing to do for a couple of reasons. Well, the first reason is that, well, how can you figure out what happened if you don't, if you can't reproduce the problem? And it's hard to reproduce problems in distributed systems because of non-determinism, okay? So these nodes operate in very unpredictable network conditions and environments with timers and such things. So it's very hard to understand what actually went on. Now, assuming you could reproduce what actually went on, you still have to piece together all that information and make sense of it. So remember, we're talking about hundreds of nodes with complex dependencies between nodes. So how do you make sense of all that information once you can reproduce it? To give you a better idea of why it's hard, let's take a look at a particular example, okay? And in this example, this is a secure routing application that guarantees reliable communication between two nodes in the presence of K adversaries if there are two K plus one disjoint paths between them, okay? Now, for our purposes, let's assume that K is one, and that means that there has to be three disjoint paths between S and D for there to be reliable communication. Now, suppose we send some packets, all right? See what happens. Uh-oh, looks like only two out of three packets made it to the destination. So the programmer is now charged with the task of figuring out, okay, well, why is this the case? Of course, there are many reasons, potential reasons as to why this could be the case. It could be just intermittent network congestion, right? Some packets were dropped. Or it could be something more fundamental, right? It could be something wrong with the disjoint path algorithm itself. Perhaps the path vectors that are communicated to set up the paths were dropped, all right? It could be any number of intermittent reasons. Now, how would you debug this kind of thing traditionally, okay? So, well, typically you just go from node to node and inspect the forwarding state. So say we start with S, okay? S is forwards packets to A, E, and F, all right? All right, E to D, that's one path that's established. Now that's another path that's established. We need three, but wait a minute, we don't have three because there's a routing loop, all right? So, and we didn't anticipate that. So this particular example demonstrates that it's very hard to think of the precise root cause of these things and understand what's going on in these systems. And here, I presented this example assuming that you could reproduce the forwarding state at the precise time the packets were lost. And that may not even be possible in real systems. So given the difficulty, what is it that we need to tackle this problem? Well, clearly we need some kind of a debugger, right? But we think we need a debugger that supports global comprehension. And by global comprehension, I mean that it should let you understand the collective behavior of the distributed system, right, as a whole. Another important feature is cyclic debugging, because a lot of times the debugging process, you ask one question, you test one hunch, and that hunch may or may not hold, in which case you have another hunch you want to test on the same execution. So there's this iterative process that you'd like to try. And as important is the fact that, well, a debugging tool should be easy for the programmer to use. And we think one way of making it easy is to leverage existing tools and existing interfaces. So we think GDB and Python is a good combination for that interface. And of course, we'd like this tool to work on data centers and Planet Lab. And that essentially means getting it to work on C++ applications running on Linux. And perhaps one of the most important points is that we'd like this tool to be hassle-free. You should just be able to plug it, plug it in and it should just work without having to make any source code modifications or use a custom API. Okay? Now, given those requirements, all right, what is it that we're shooting for? Well, we'd like to, at the high level, just check global predicates. Okay? So what do I mean by global predicates? I mean, well, you'd like to check, you know, there are at least two K plus one disjoint paths between nodes, or there are no forwarding loops in the network. These are predicates that make a state from all nodes in the distributed system. Now, this gives rise to the question, well, when should we check these predicates? Well, certainly we should check them during a particular execution, but when within an execution? Well, ideally, we should be able to check them all the time. But as you know, there is no global clock in a distributed system. And that makes it very difficult to piece together a consistent view, a causally consistent view of global state. So what do I mean by causally consistent view? I mean that given a particular snapshot of the distributed system's execution, any event within that snapshot, then all events that happened before that event should also be included in that snapshot. Okay, so for example, this is not a consistent cut because event 3, which is a receive event, is included in the snapshot, but the corresponding send event is not in the snapshot. All right, and this makes it very hard to reason about the execution of the system, because here he says one node has received the message, but according to the snapshot, it's never been sent. It hasn't been sent yet, at least. So this would be a consistent snapshot, and this would be a consistent snapshot, and so forth. Now, the question is, how do we get these consistent snapshots? Well, we use Lamport clocks. That is, we label each event in the system with a monotonically increasing number that allows us to infer causality information. And this is pretty much a standard way to get consistent snapshots. And this is what we're trying to do. Now, what exactly is our approach, given our goal? Well, we'd like to check these predicates offline and at consistent snapshots, like I mentioned, but using Python and GDB code, okay? Now, of course, the most important question here is, well, how do you check these predicates offline? Well, the key idea is to leverage logging and replay technology, also known as deterministic replay. And the basic idea there is to log the execution of your system and then replay it back. And while you do the replay, you install some predicates. You check those predicates. Okay? Now, before I get into the details of how exactly we do that, let's see if this meets our requirements. All right? Certainly, it meets the global comprehension requirement. It allows us to check global predicates. It also meets the cyclic debugging requirement because we use replay. We can replay as many times as we want. And each time, we can ask a different set of questions, and potentially very expensive questions, because this is all done offline. We have a familiar environment, because we leverage Python and GDB. And our system is efficient enough to work on data centers and Planet Lab, because once again, we do it offline and off the application's online critical execution path. And finally, it supports legacy applications, because it turns out that you can do logging and replay without custom APIs through the use of syscall interpositioning and GDB introspection. Okay? Now, having said that, I'd like to point out that our work does have several limitations. And perhaps one of the most fundamental is that we can't, nor do we try, to infer invariants for you. Okay? It's still up to the programmer to think of the right predicates. This may seem paradoxical, because since you don't know what the bug is, well, you might say, well, how is it that you can formulate the right question to ask. And in practice, that is difficult. But usually, you have some kind of hunch. And a system like Friday allows you to verify those hunches and, in the process, gain more information that lets you zoom in on that needle in the haystack. Now, once you've thought of the relevant predicate, you still have to code it up, okay, in Python. And obviously, that's another source of problems, because now you're debugging your debugging code. With Python especially, you have dynamic typing errors. I know I've encountered them frequently. And finally, our tools are limited by the underlying technology, such as logging and replay. Logging and replay is not appropriate for high-speed routers or high-throughput file systems, for example. Likewise, we inherit GDB's quirks, for example. We can't set breakpoints on inline functions. So those are just some of the limitations. So now, how do we compare with existing work? Of course, here Friday meets all of our requirements, but that's not to say that we are better than all the other systems. For example, the WIDS checker uses a custom API, and that lets them expose more semantic information to avoid false positives. We don't require a custom API. We don't require any kind of modifications, which of course provides a kind of a hassle-free debugging environment. But at the same time, we may be prone to false positives when WIDS checker may not be prone. And another difference between the WIDS checker is that we target Planet Lab and Linux in particular, whereas they target Windows. Okay. Another distributed debugger is P2. And a key difference there is that they target online debugging. The nice thing there is that if you can do it online, then you can react, you can adapt your system's behavior online. But we do it offline. And of course, the benefit of doing that is that offline, you can ask very expensive predicates. You can ask very expensive questions that you would not be able to do online because of performance penalties. All right. Now, PIP is another excellent distributed debugger. And the cool thing about PIP is that it gives you descriptions of your distributed system's behavior. Okay, Friday can't do that. But what Friday can do, it lets you ask questions. It lets the programmer ask questions about a particular execution and lets you refine it. Okay, and through that process, helps the programmer get a better understanding or description of the behavior himself. And finally, the MACE-MC model checker provides you wide coverage. Now, the benefit of Friday is that it looks at one particular execution that is potentially very hard to attain using model checking techniques because of scalability issues. Okay. Now, having said that, I'd like to go into dig into details about our system. I'd like to first talk about the deterministic replay component, which is essentially the bottommost layer of our system design. So the deterministic replay component, so we replay all the nodes on one central location, and each replay node has a GDB instance attached to it, as you can see. And each of those GDB instances is controlled by a central global predicate engine, which is responsible for scheduling each of these instances and installing predicates within each of these replay instances. So before I talk about the global predicate engine, let me tell you about the deterministic replay component. So our deterministic replay component leverages previous work called liblog. And the basic idea there is to log the execution of each process in the distributed system to a local file. And when the programmer finds a bug or encounters a symptom, he downloads the log to a central replay node and then starts up a debugging session. Okay. And the interesting thing about this debugging session is that we proceed in increasing lamp or clock order. That means we do, in this particular example, we do event 1 first, then event 2, event 3, 4, 5, and so forth. And the nice thing there is that gives us consistent snapshots at each step along the way, right? And that provides a nice way to check predicates because we can now do it at each of those steps. Now, how does liblog work under the hood? Well, basically, it's a library that sits in between libc and the application and snoops in on system calls using the LD preload environment variable. Well, you might say, well, why do we do it that way? Why not just use a virtual machine? And that provides, you know, that might be easier to achieve completeness because there's so many library calls. All right. Well, at the time we were developing this, virtual machine technology was too heavyweight for Planet Lab, and we really, really wanted to support Planet Lab, all right? So it might be the case that virtual machines are eventually feasible to do this, and that's something that we'd certainly look forward to. And in terms of overhead for the wide area applications that we are targeting, we found it to be very reasonable, okay? Now that I've explained the deterministic replay component, let me tell you about the global predicate engine. So what is it? So how do these predicates work? Well, so we've introduced two concepts here, and that's one is the notion of a distributed breakpoint, and the other is a distributed watchpoint. They're essentially the same thing as GDB's notions of breakpoints and watchpoints, except just spread across multiple nodes. So for example, this D break, this distributed breakpoint, places a breakpoint at node 4 at that particular location in the program. This watchpoint places a watchpoint on that variable on all the nodes. All right? And similarly, this one does it just for one specific node. Okay? So how is it these things are, how do we implement these things? Well, for breakpoints are easy. We just leverage GDB's breakpoint trap functionality. Now, watchpoints are a little harder because GDB's watchpoint support relies on a limited number of hardware watchpoints. And GDB also has support for software watchpoints, but that's really, really slow. So instead, we use an old trick. It's called the mprotect trick. And we basically just remove write permissions from the page, the VM virtual memory page that corresponds to the variable, and detect accesses to that page that way. Of course, that method is reliable to lots of false positives if there are multiple writes to the same page, only a few of which are for the variable that you're watching. But in practice, we found this to be much more effective than hardware or software watchpoints. Now, having said that, what can you do once a distributed watchpoint or breakpoint fires? Well, here's an example. Let's start with the watchpoint handler first. This simple example lets you keep track of all the nodes that are online, okay, at the current time. So basically, this is done through the use of a Python associative array, and we place a watchpoint on each node's status variable, and when that changes to online, we just simply update the associative array. Okay, it's a very simple example. Now, what about breakpoints? Well, in this particular one, we set a breakpoint at the time that a node comes online at a particular program point, and there we store a mapping from application-level IDs to Friday-specific node IDs. All right, so you might say, okay, what's the use of that? Well, a nice use for that is to detect when multiple nodes have the same application-level IDs. So this particular example tells you when there's a conflict in application-level IDs. Okay. Now, of course, those are very simple examples. I'd like to give you a more complicated and interesting example. And so let's go back to that disjoint path case study that I presented earlier in the talk. And there we kind of looked around all of the node states and then pieced together that, okay, we only had 2 out of 3 disjoint paths. How do we make this easier? Well, we can have Friday maintain and verify this global forwarding state for us. We can have it check the disjoint paths. Okay, so how do we do that? Now, this code is complicated on first look, but the takeaway point here is that with just a few lines, you can do something very expensive that would be very hard to do online, okay? So what does this do? So basically, we set a breakpoint at the location in the code where all the neighbors of a node are being enumerated, all right? And as the neighbors are being enumerated, we place a watchpoint on each neighbor's status variable, okay? And this is done dynamically within the watchpoint, within the breakpoint handler. Now, this watchpoint, when it fires, and it fires when the status of the neighbor changes, it will update a graph, okay, of which represents the connectivity status between nodes. All right. So, and this graph is actually stored at a central location on the replay node, and on this graph, we can compute disjoint paths using your standard disjoint path graph algorithm. So, what does that look like? Well, it's actually pretty simple. I don't show the exact algorithm here, but it's just a very brute force algorithm, vertex disjoint paths algorithm that we use. And that highlights one of the cool things about Friday is that you don't have to worry about doing expensive checks. I mean, you don't have to worry about implementing efficient algorithms. Because you do this offline, you can just do the simplest thing possible. Okay? Another interesting feature of this particular example is that it leverages Friday's ability to timestamp when the algorithm converges on the desired number of paths. This is useful, for example, if you want to check your expectations of convergence. You know that the application should converge in 20 seconds. Is that really the case? Okay. Now, having given those case studies, Let me just briefly go through the performance, and most of this you can get more details from the paper. But we replayed 62 nodes, and there you would expect a 62x slowdown, but actually there is only a 4x slowdown. And the reason for this is that the application during its actual execution is mostly stuck on select, blocked on select calls. Okay, so it's doing a lot of I/O, and during replay we just zoom past that. So it's much faster than what you would expect. Now with predicates, if you add predicates, then your overhead is likely to increase depending on what your predicate does and how frequently it fires. Okay, and for some of the predicates that we've written, the highest is 36x slowdown. And you can please see the paper for more details if you're interested. Now, in closing, I'd like to tell you about some of the ways in which we are improving Friday. So one thing about Friday is that it really has support for C and C++ applications only right now. We want to support higher level languages such as Python and Ruby. And one stumbling block there is that, well, we were using GDB, and GDB was really designed for C and C++. So instead, what we want to do is get rid of GDB for those higher level languages and replace it with the interpreter for that language, right? And then we can use the interpreter for that language as a debugger to do introspection on application state. Now, another way in which we are making Friday better is to actually improve the logging and replay support. We are implementing more system calls for LibLog. In fact, we're implementing a newer version for LibLog, and this will allow us to support many more applications than we currently support. And finally, we'd like to gain more experience with our tools. We don't have a lot of experience, so we don't really know if these predicates, how easy these predicates make it to find that needle in the haystack. Is there some other bottleneck in the debugging process? As I mentioned earlier, you know, you still have to think of the predicates. It's still up to you to think of the right predicates. How hard is that? So these are some of the questions that, with more experience, we hope to find out. And at this point, I'd like to take your questions.
So the predicates you support and describe, they seem a really powerful way to do debugging. They also seem a little bit daunting in complexity. And I guess I'd ask maybe two things. One is, you know, any experience you have with that learning curve, and you know, learning to think this way, and two, have any abstractions or common modes of using those emerged that you might be able to encapsulate as a, you know, a button I push on my debugger or some visualization aspects of the system?
I don't know how to visualize this. We've kind of it's essentially just leveraging GDB functionality. I mean, so the complication is that you have to kind of interpret C code in Python. So for example, in that example there's this complicated format string within the at symbol that's actually being passed off to GDB to be interpreted. And this is really a result of a mismatch between languages, because Python doesn't support pointers, right? But here we're trying to debug a C program with Python. So it might be the case that this debugging might be better done using C itself, right? So really it could be that to improve the ease of use, you can maybe get rid of Python and allow the user to use C itself to do the debugging.
Or it sounds like you're almost hitting that almost suggests maybe there's a domain-specific language that's needed here that captures those abstractions, but amenable to the types of things you want to do.
That could be the case, but I don't know offhand. Could be done.
Hi. James Anderson, UC San Diego. Mm-hmm. How do you break your log stream into discrete events to actually, you know, run the Lamport clock algorithm and figure out where one step in the execution is?
So our logs contain system call results, essentially. And each system call result is annotated with the Lamport clock. And so for example, you have a send event, then we associate a Lamport clock with that in the log. And then the corresponding receive event on another node has the incremented Lamport clock associated with that. So this allows the scheduler to know how to do the context switching. It should just follow the Lamport clocks, for example.
But with, for instance, TCP, you might have multiple writes that correspond only to a single read on a different node. So how do you deal with that?
We don't deal with that, actually. That is an implementation issue there. Yeah. Thank you.